your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome to Alchemy. Today I'm joined with Prins Pinnikat, Chief Marketing Officer at Arrow Brands. And Arrow Brands develops and supplies the technology and science to enjoy the best cannabis and CBD oils without actually touching the plant. Prins, it's awesome to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Really excited to be here.
It's great to have you. And I got to tell you, I absolutely love, you know, having marketers come on Alchemy and really hearing about everyone's career path. And, you know, you've led brand marketing at some of the most iconic brands of all time, including Coca-Cola. And I think it'd be great just to kick off the show and, you know, tell our listeners right now just a little bit of your history, you know, in the traditional brand world.
Yeah, happy to do so. Well, as you mentioned, I worked at Coca-Cola. That's also where I started off, you know, 20 years ago in Germany. As a matter of fact, I'm a German native, in a very traditional brand management role, Diet Coke, Fanta, and then quickly moved into digital marketing, which at that time was, you know, pioneer work, trying to explain to people that there is no difference between the World Wide Web and the internet. Moved then into to London to lead digital marketing on a European level for Coca-Cola and even some global initiatives, including building loyalty platforms, which at that time was completely unheard of. What in the US became My Coke Rewards was actually piloted in Germany and the UK. And I started to become somewhat of the nerd, which I never wanted to be. So I moved back into a more traditional brand leadership role on the global level then at that time. So I moved to Atlanta, the Coca-Cola headquarters, had the pleasure of, you know, again, working on highly disruptive topics like augmented reality. We're talking 10 years ago, virtual reality, long form content, native advertising. And had a blast ultimately leading sports and entertainment platforms such as Formula One, the NBA for the Coca-Cola company, and then decided to move into a true pioneering environment and entrepreneurial environment, which was the move to Vita Coco and build the coconut water business for Vita Coco in Asia Pacific. And as some of you may know, Vita Coco is the leader in coconut water, but trying to sell coconut water to the home country of coconut waters in a packaged goods environment was a challenge, but also very exciting. And then came back to the US, built a little business unit for innovative products for, you know, the industry at that time, non-dairy milk, coconut milk-based milk, etc. And, you know, when the whole coconut oil craze was happening, it was also, you know, in the majority driven by what we at Vita Coco did. And then did a little pivot into the insurance industry, moved to Zurich for, you know, a little less than a year. Used the time, but also to start to look into the cannabis industry and seeing what was happening and seeing the dynamic development in this industry. I felt that is a much better place for somebody like me. So moved back to the US and went straight at it to enter this industry at the point where I felt that a traditional CPG marketer who is experienced in building brands rooted in true consumer insights can actually make a difference. And that's how I landed with Arrow Brands.
That's amazing. So, you know, essentially you went from the drinks industry, so Coca-Cola and Vita Coco, and then you went to insurance and now you're in cannabis. You know, when you're thinking about just marketers in general, like, do you think a great marketer has the ability to work in a very diverse range of spaces?
I do believe so. Because ultimately, a true marketer is an ambassador for the consumer. And it starts with truly understanding what is the real problem that the consumer has and how can my product or my brand solve that problem. And it starts with that. Certain industries are not consumer-centric. By design, I'm convinced they would be even more successful if they were, and they will get there over time. Other industries are 100% consumer centric. You know, CPG, most of the CPG brand successful ones are there already. how they bring it to life is a different story. But I truly believe that a really good marketer starts with the consumer, understands the consumer problem and the insights, and then builds a product or a brand from there. And that is transferable across industries.
So when you think about the, you know, the drinks market in particular, you know, obviously that's one that really relies heavily on packaging for success. When you're thinking about that, what role do you think visual branding plays in just overall brands today?
It's essential. It is the core. To give you a couple of anecdotal data points, over 70% of people that buy a Coca-Cola product today make that decision at the point of sale. So it's an impulse purchase. Although that brand is in every pantry, people don't put it on their shopping list. So that impulse is created by a phenomenal packaging design, point of sale presence, right? So that shows you everything you need to know when it comes to packaging design. And this impulse is created by standing out on the shelf or on the display. So it is essential. And the second part to it is we can talk about all our integrated marketing communications campaigns and connection planning and the different touch points you want to activate. The number one and most important touch point still is the packaging.
Absolutely. So let's kind of move a little bit into, you know, the cannabis space and what you're doing at Aero. So, I mean, I'd love to hear a little bit about, a little bit about the story and the mission of the company and what really attracted you to the brand.
The story is as follows. So Rich Yost, our CEO and founder, has been in this industry for, a little less than 10 years. When he was in his early 20s, he started a fertilizer company specialized on cannabis grow. Then quickly after that, he was one of the five license holders for New York State. And what he figured out very quickly was this is, first of all, not as scalable as he would like it to be. And secondly, very, very, very hard from an operational and financial point of view, especially in the context of his ambition, which was creating phenomenal cannabis experiences, because you're not fully in control of the entire chain at all times, especially not at the last point, which is the consumer, right? So once he figured that out, he's like, okay, I need to come up with a new model, a different model. And that's when Aero Brands was created. And Aero Brands is basically a closed ecosystem. And what we do is we have a patented solution when it comes to the vaporizer. It's closed. And we work with exclusive partners in each of the states on creating products, formulas that we define and develop in our R&D team and our R&D facilities with our partners, so that they basically create the oil that goes into the cartridges based on our formulation, and we sell the hardware to them. What it does allow us to do is maintain integrity of the brand and maintain the highest possible quality of the product and experience. And given that the Aero Pro is an amazingly intuitive device, anybody can easily use it and have the best possible cannabis experience. There is no buttons to press. There is no screwing in. It's just a magnetic that slides in. And the moment you inhale, it works. There is no buttons or anything like that. So it is a phenomenal, very intuitive, high quality experience.
Amazing. So, when you're thinking about your product and you're thinking about, sourcing, the cannabis and the oils, you guys do this on a state-by-state basis. So, just curious, how are you guys ensuring that you remain compliant, across the different markets?
Our team is very experienced in that arena. So we work with the local partners that we identify. And as I said, we only have exclusive partnerships in each of the states. So we work very closely, in lockstep along the entire product development as well as regulatory process. Between our team and our partners' teams, they are subject matter experts in these fields and making sure that we are reflective of the local or state regulations is key, obviously. And that's why we have, bespoke packaging solutions. We have a quality QA lead on our side, making sure that every single piece of product that goes out is tested three times in the context of regulations as well as in the context of quality control. So We put all these measures in place to make sure that it's 100% safe and enjoyable product.
Awesome. And, you know, just for my own curiosity, because I've been asking a lot of folks who have come from the traditional world, was there a specific, like, what was it that made you decide, like, you know what, I'm going to go into cannabis. I'm going to move from a sector that I've kind of worked in for years to a completely new sector, especially, you know, with something that's not federally legal yet. Like, what was the moment that you kind of made that decision?
As I said, I grew up in Germany. And to me, historically speaking, cannabis, cocaine, heroin is all the same. That's just how I grew up. And once I was confronted with the idea of going into the cannabis space, I did some research. And what I saw was that cannabis consumption has been undercurrent of the U.S. society for 100 years across all age groups, all societal layers, and all generations. So to me, it was very evident at that point that this is something that's already here. It's just a question of when it becomes, you know, legally widely available. And the other part was, there is a true impact I can have on this industry by bringing some consumer-led marketing expertise into this. There are a lot of people that do that create phenomenal products. There are a lot of people who are really willing to support it from a funding point of view. And there are very few people that get the operational elements right, and even less people who actually understand how to communicate with the consumer. So I felt this is an important industry from a health and wellness point of view. It can have a true impact on society and people, and it can benefit from my expertise. So that was when I put these three pieces together, I was like, okay, I think this is the right time, the right place for me to go next.
Totally. So when we're, you know, kind of thinking about, you know, visual branding and really how that plays into how people are purchasing, obviously for a lot of marketers who are just moving into this space, you know, we are really limited by regulation, like where we can advertise, how we can advertise. When you're thinking about visual branding itself, like how does that impact your advertising programs?
I take a fairly traditional approach in terms of understanding the consumer journey first. Really understanding what are the touch points that are along that journey before the actual purchase happens or the actual consumption happens. And then I look at, okay, what are the touch points that we should be activating if we could? And then lastly, what are the ones that we can actually activate based on my budget restrictions and based on legal and regulatory restrictions? To give you a very simple example, you know, USA Today homepage, you can actually advertise cannabis on the USA Today homepage. There are providers who do that. You can advertise on the boards of, you know, Premier League games that are shown on NBC. It's just not the right medium. It's not the right environment. And it doesn't make sense from an investment point of view. So there is this myth that, you know, it's highly regulated and highly limited. It is limited, but there are ways around that. The more important question is, what are the right touch points to be activated? And then start from there. So that's how I go about it. And the legal and regulatory aspect is really the last step in my decision making process.
Got it. So, you know, wanted to ask you this as we're many of us are dealing with this, you know, very strange time right now, dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, you know, around the world. And, you know, just wanted to ask you just from a business perspective, like how have you guys really coped with some of the challenges that have been presented to us as a country, you know, the last couple of weeks with people that are, you know, sheltering at home or just really able to get deliveries or curbside? Like, how are you guys thinking about that right now?
There are a couple of elements to the current situation and that we have to take into consideration that we have to address. One is staying productive as an organization. And gladly and, you know, thankfully, we have a remote working setup anyways, just because we are a small team spread around the country. So we're used to working from home. So that one is kind of captured and covered. So that's good. The second bit is addressing the limitations that come with, you know, shutdowns, lockdowns, etc. And we have been actively communicating with our audience, asking them to make sure you put in an order online or via phone before you go and, you know, you pick it up either curbside or inside. We work with our partners, making sure that their supply is available and that they have enough in stock, because not too dissimilar to the spirits and beer industry, the weed consumption is going up, and it's, you know, very natural. So we want to make sure that we can serve our consumers and customers in the most efficient and safest possible way, given the environment that we operate in. And then the last bit is really, you know, the financial impact. Yes, sales are going up, but we're still a startup and we are in a startup environment. So outside funding is something that is still critical and essential to most of our partners and other cannabis brands. So that has dried up completely. So we had to make a few adjustments on our cost base, which we did for, you know, a certain period of time. And once things go back to normal, we'll be able to ramp up those elements as well. But no, it is it has an impact across every part of our business. But the good news is it will help, at least on the top line revenue side, boost those numbers.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one thing that we've been seeing, especially in the last week alone, is, you know, cannabis dispensaries in particular, you know, one, they're considered essential businesses, right? So, you know, for, you know, lockdowns in cities, especially like LA, you know, this is still very important because people are able to get their deliveries and, you know, or do a curbside pickup. You know, just curious from a, how you look at it, you know, I've seen more and more mainstream news like ABC News and the New York Times and all of these outlets that are really, you know, elevating, you know, cannabis and cannabis companies as really like, these are must have products for people, especially with anxiety and especially, you know, from a medical perspective. You know, how do you see this impacting the long term growth of the industry? Like, I actually think this is a good thing that's coming out of this, where it's elevating the need for this across the nation.
Yes. I first want to say, you know, it's very dramatic, right? And I want to make sure that people do respect and work within the confines of what your state or your county or your city says, because, you know, the health of our consumers is the most important, and safety is the most important bit to us. So that comes way before, you know, any of our revenues or something like that. Now, to your specific question, yes, I do totally underscore states and cities and counties that say it's an essential business, because cannabis, first and foremost, is for many, many, many consumers a health and wellness product and medical product. They need it, and you can't shut it off. So that's the one thing. And then the second bit is really, yes, it shows the necessity of a product like cannabis being available to consumers on an ongoing basis, because it's part of their lifestyle, it's part of their health regimen, and it elevates the, as you said, the perspective onto what we can do in these times. At the same time, it shouldn't be new, and for most people it is not new. It just substantiates our position and our role in people's lives. So aside from the immediate spike that a lot of us see in sales, I'm fundamentally convinced that this spike or this acceleration in acceptance as well as in sales will continue. So from that angle, the current really dire situation has a positive angle for us.
Sure. And I think also just from an educational perspective, you know, the continued marketing across the different sectors and continued marketing on the use cases of cannabis, I think that is something that we're going to start seeing a pretty large explosive growth in the category, especially when we get out of this mess, where people are going to really be looking at this space much more carefully and much more accepted. And we're starting to see that across the board, which is really great. So Prince, we're kind of at the part of the show where we've talked about business, and now we're going to talk a little bit about you. So don't get scared, but this is part of the show. We do kind of a quick fire, you know, question and answer period. It's very simple. Just the first thing that comes to your mind, I'm going to ask you a question. You just have to answer it. You ready?
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Morning or evening?
Evening.
One word that defines happiness?
Experiences.
Love that. What's one item that you could never live without?
Beer?
Good answer. Sunsets or sunrise?
Sun.
Sun?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Favorite place to hide out?
Oh, in my car.
What makes you smile?
Simple things.
What's the one thing that you're afraid of?
That my family gets hurt.
What time will you go to bed tonight?
Midnight-ish.
Wow. Late bird. And the last time that you laughed out loud, like belly laughed?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, Prince, listen, it was great having you on the show. Really awesome to hear about Arrow. Really great also to hear about, you know, the pure focus on packaging and design and how you're taking that to what you're doing now. And it was great to learn more about everything you're working on. So really appreciate you.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me. Really enjoyed the conversation and look forward to the upcoming podcast as well.
Absolutely.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.